As always, good to see everybody. I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you, Lord, for all that are here. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your spirit, Lord God. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for all things you give the sons of men, Lord God, and your people. Thank you, Lord God, for being led by the Spirit. We ask you, Lord God, to bring us where you'd have us, Lord. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We've been in Romans, of course, and in chapter 8 of Romans, there's a common theme in there. Who could tell me what the common theme is in chapter 8? Hint, we just prayed the common theme. Amen, amen, amen. We are the sons of God, are led by the Spirit. Amen. And everything that God does for us is through His Spirit. Even Jesus Christ on the cross is by and through the Spirit, because we know the Father, the Spirit, and the Son are one. But the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And that's what Romans tells us. And everything that we come into and everything that is a part of us, everything that we're brought into, we know that all things work together for the good of those that love Jesus Christ. Amen? Love the Father. And so all those things that we come into, we know work for good. Now, if you all are looking closely, you might see a knob right on my head here. There's a little metaphor for you today. It evidently does, because I've got a word relative to it today, and it's just wonderful. I was picking up... My little girl's going to be into, she's going to get into the equestrian club in high school. So I went up to Pinconning yesterday, and I picked up a used horse trailer. It was a nice old one, built 1988, so I got a good price on it. And it's in good shape, though. It's heavy. Other than that, with gas and all that, we're pleased to have it. We're blessed with it. But while there, I had to put a brake box. Anybody knows what a brake box is? It's something that just helps you adjust and calibrate the brake differential between your vehicle and the trailer. So you can actually sort of moderate depending on how much weight you've got in your trailer. So we're putting that on, and we're redoing the cord on the trailer, but all in all, it's a beautiful little trailer. And so I'm going into the guy's his barn, or his work garage, and there's a low-lying area here. Instead of looking at the low-lying runoff from his roof, I'm looking at the ground because there's a lot of mud. And I'm looking, where am I looking? I'm looking at the earth. I'm looking at the world. I'm not looking up. I'm looking down, and I'm looking in the mud, and I'm looking in the dirt. And I almost end up face first in the dirt because I crack my head, and I'm telling you, now I got to get the beam out of my own head before, so I don't end up in that dirt, right? Yeah. If that beam was right across the head here, and I'll tell you, and you guys can see evidence of it, of course, but... I just thought it would be a funny thing to share with you guys, because all things do work for the glory of God. And even that crack across the head, I thought about Peter when he was walking across the water, and I thought when he took his eyes off God, he started to sink into that water. And when we take our eyes off the Lord, we sink into what the world has for us, and it really is a mess. It's filthy, it's dirty, it's just a bunch of mud and slop. And the prodigal son comes to mind. This is preachable, man. This is really something that we could get into. But it sort of is a digression from where we're at in Romans. But it does fit, too, because the Spirit of God does lead the sons of God. And I think maybe the Spirit of God led me right into that beam for just such a time as this. So thank you, Lord. We rejoice in all things, right? Paul says to rejoice in all things. So here I am. Thank you for that crack across the head, Lord, because I know it was meant for good. all right. So we're in Romans. Let's just go to 8:23, please, Luann. Thank you. It really is a pleasure, though, with the folks here at this church, because wherever you're at, I think there's something for all of us here. But I know when I preach or when I teach these things, I know that I'm reaching people, because I preach, I teach, and I reach. I know I do that because you folks have got it, man. You've got a grounding that is is unique in today's day and age, I think. And I'm just so pleased to be here before y'all, okay? But so let's look at Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, when you were in the hospital, I talked about this. We're all waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We want to come into what God has for us, that completeness in Him as sons of God. We want to put away all those infirmities that beset us, both physically, soulishly, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all those things. We want to flush them, right? And we want to come into what God has for those sons of God. We want to be led by the Spirit. So the first fruits there, let me just tell you what that is. It's the Greek word 536, parke, and it's to offer first things or first fruits. It's to take away the first fruits of the production of the earth, which was offered to God. The first portion of the dough from which sacred loaves were to be prepared. Hence the term used of persons consecrated to God for all time. It's a person superior and excellent to others of the same class. So, not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit. So, he's saying we've got that first portion of the dough, right? He's pointing to us. He's talking to the sons of God. He's saying, you are the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. You are the first fruits of the Spirit. And what that is more than just first fruits. There's a sacred meaning there. It's the first portion of the dough from which sacred loaves were to be prepared. So this is the first offering. This is what is offered in the temple. This is what God deems worthy, what God deems acceptable to Him, right? So that's this first fruits of the Spirit. It's the first dough, and it's the term used of persons consecrated to God for all time. This is not just for now, it's for all time. It's an eternal work going on. It's persons superior in excellence to others of the same class. And we're not high-minded about this, because we know, again, that it is the Spirit of God that leads us through cracks in the head and through the mud to this point, right? It's the Spirit of God that brings us to this first dough. By His grace and mercy, we are the first dough, if we but accept it and receive it. So that's the first point. Let's go to 8:24, please. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So, Al, when you're going through these maladies and these little ailments and stuff, and Nancy's going through it with you, two shall be one, you're hoping for a better day. You're hoping for a better thing. You're hoping for the healing that God says we have. By His stripes we are healed. And it is a hope not yet seen. But you know it's coming, don't you? You believe that fervently, right? If it's seen, it's not a hope. Because we have it. I don't have to hope for this anymore because I got it. But we are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are waiting for the completion of the work of the Spirit. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? So we walk in faith, right? We walk in those things that have not yet seen. And Hebrews 11 is instrumental or instructional in that, is it not? We know about that. So the Greek word we are saved is sozo. It's to save, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. From injury or peril, to save a suffering one from perishing, i.e. one from suffering from disease. To make well, heal, restore to health, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or rescue, to save in the technically biblically sense, it's to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment. It's to save from the evils which obstruct the reception of the messianic deliverance. So this, again, is the Spirit of God keeping us out of the mud, right? So there's a saving going on, and it's a saving. It's a saving physically of the things that beset us, the circumstances that beset us, but it's also a saving internally, emotionally, in the heart. It's a saving of what we understand. It's bringing us into a higher understanding. Does God, would you think God might afflict us to get us to a point of understanding? I bet he does. Point right here, right on the tip of my head here, that little crest across my forehead. I thank God for just the insight that he gave me with regard to that, because it's all started just sort of coming into order. And I do think he does this with a lot of things. Maybe we got our sights where they shouldn't be. And maybe we need to put our sights up. Look up, for thy deliverance is at hand, right? So I do think that these afflictions, and we've talked about this, sometimes they're for us. Sometimes we're to bear them so that others might see us bearing them and the faith that we have and be brought into that deliverance that God has for us, right? I mean, there's a depth of God's purpose here that we certainly don't have a grip on all the different things, but it's there. There's a grip. There's a depth that the Lord has for us that I guess we need to be open for. We need to receive it. We need to be listening and just contemplating what God's will is for us in the circumstances at hand. And Al said it too. Not why me, Lord? Why'd you crack me across the head? That really hurt, Lord. But why? Right? Why? Why, Lord? And I love that, Al, because that's exactly it. What do you want me to learn about this, Lord God? Let me learn it so I can get away from the school circle here. I don't want to be in the school anymore. I want to graduate from this little deal here, Lord. Bring me out of this, Lord God. Bring me into where you want me to be, Lord, right? So there is a saving from injury or peril. There's a saving, a suffering one from perishing. There's a saving from the suffering of disease. And it's to make well, heal, and restore to health. And that's the good news, because we're not stuck where we were at. He is restoring us from the carnality where we were at, and he is restoring us from the human condition. Because the human condition ultimately was meant to be one of eternal life. It was corrupted, not by God, but by man's rebellion. And man continues to be in that rebellion. Now, there's more to come in Romans, and we'll get into it next week, 8:27 through 8:31. But he says that we join Christ in all things. We are in Christ. We join him in his suffering at the cross. When we are in him, he is in us. But is that process continued, or are we, you know, if God didn't save his own son from suffering, is there an inconsistency in thinking that we shouldn't suffer? If God wants to get the point across to us, and we're one of many sons following the first begotten son of God, if the model is that he suffered so that all might be redeemed, is it a little bit, I don't know how to express this, I'm trying to think, but presumptive to think that we shouldn't have to do it because God did it? Or does God have a greater purpose still? Is he always trying to reach the lost? Is he always trying to reach those that are coming, that are being born? His kingdom is always growing, isn't it? So isn't there an attempt to reach everyone still by the Lord? Yes, there is. And who is here now on the earth? His comforter is here, to be sure. And that comforter resides in his body, in his people. And we are here to be that light on a hill, that salt of the earth. Right, brother? Thank you. So, I like Al's thing about why. Not why me, not pity me, but why, Lord? Please tell me, so that I'm not frustrated, because I am human, Lord. but I want to know, Lord. I want to know what you want me to learn in this so that I can move on. I think about, Jim's mom was sweet, evidently a sweet lady, and a very qualified lady. I mean, I heard lots of testimony about what a woman she was. And I'm glad I was there, because now I get to see some of the quality that lies in Jim. He's pretty quiet. He doesn't say much. But I know he's got some of that in him from his mom, because she had something to do with who he is today, right? And that quality that we see in her, I'm sure God put that there. And all the circumstances that she went through when Jim's papa passed on early, 1968, Jim told me, I think they said 69 at the service there, but I believe it was 68 if I take Jim at his word, and I do. And so his mom, without a husband, with a young family, what am I going to do? I'm going to go, and I'm not going to say, why me, Lord? I'm going to say, why, Lord? What would you have me do? And what did she do? She ponied up her little resume, and she went over to the church, and she said, how can I help you? And how can you help me? How can we help each other? This is what the body does, right? And she became a part of that ministry for years and years and years and years and years. It became a founding member in that church from its infancy to where it is today. It's a beautiful church. I enjoyed the service. I truly enjoyed Stephanie's words. I enjoyed Carl's. It is well with my soul. It's awesome. And this is what that lady put together, though. See, the Spirit inspired all of that through her. And did she know every step of the way what was going on? I'm sure she didn't, but was she obedient? I think so. I think from the testimonies that we heard, she was. So I look at this suffering, I look at where we're at, and I think, I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, for all those things that God's prepared for those that love Him, right? We don't have a clue. We have no understanding about what God, where He's going. But we have that hope. We don't see it, but we have that hope, right? Okay. Let's go to 825, please. For we are saved by hope. I'm still at 824. I'm so used to Luann's efficiency, I'm just stumbling over my feet up here. But if we hope, but at least I'm looking up. I'm not looking down, I'm looking up. That's why I'm stumbling on my feet. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? So, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? So are we frustrated? Are we looking for it now, or are we looking for it in God's time? Are we looking for it when we want it, or are we waiting on the Lord? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right? So we're waiting with patience for it. What is that word, patience? The word patience is the Greek word 5281, hypomone. It's steadfastness, constancy, endurance. In the New Testament, it's the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. That's you, Al. Right, brother? That's you. Patiently and steadfastly. A patient steadfast, waiting for. A patient enduring, sustaining perseverance. So we persevere in all things by and through Him, not by my might, Lord God, but by yours. So there's an endurance in these circumstances that we find ourselves in. And Paul says he rejoices in all things. Paul was, as we know, was in prison. He went through many trials, was shipwrecked, jailed, beaten, flogged. But he rejoiced in all things. He wasn't why me, he was why Lord, right? And Paul entered into all these things just as we are too. So when I look at the little bumps in the road that we have, I think it's healthy for us to look at those that came before, that the founders of the church, and those other brothers and sisters right now that go through far greater tribulations, Sudan or whatnot, wherever. I think it helps us to put in perspective that it really isn't so bad, and we should rejoice for all those things that we do in fact have, all those great things that we have. The life of your mother, Jim. What a I was just really pleased to be there. I'm telling you, man, you had a sweet lady there for a mom. You know that, but I just want to say it publicly because I had a lot of respect for what I heard. But if we hope for that we see not, do we with patience wait for it? So are we waiting steadfastly? Are we enduring, notwithstanding our circumstances? Are we still hoping for that which we see not? Okay. Let's go to 826 real quick. Just about done here. I don't want to cramp Eric here, and I don't want to cramp the music ministry either. It's good to see you, Eric. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When I cracked my head yesterday, the Spirit was making intercession for me with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'll tell you that. And the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What is, you know, we talked about earlier about physical and soulish and emotional. What is infirmities? Infirmities is a Greek word, 769, asthenia. It's the want of strength, it's the weakness, infirmity of the body, its native weakness and frailty. So there's a feebleness of health or sickness. So there's a physical feebleness or health of sickness there, right? But then of the soul, it's a want of strength and requisite capacity. Requisite capacity for what? For whatever God brings us into, right? So there's an infirmity there. But the Spirit, He helpeth our infirmities, doesn't He? He helpeth us in our infirmities. What is that word, helpeth? That's the Greek word 4878. And that's a long one. I'll do the best I can here. Sunatilam banomi, banomai. It's to lay hold of or lay hold along with. To strive in obtaining. To obtain with others. To help in obtaining. To take hold with another. So, He's helping us to take hold. He's with us. He's with us. He's our witness. There talks about a witness here in the same passage here. Two shall be a witness, right? He's with us here, and He's helping us to lay hold during our infirmities, during our weakness, during our frailty. What else does this infirmity say, though? It does say this. It says, of the soul, a want of strength and requisite capacity to understand a thing. So He's helping us lay hold of understanding in the midst of these things, isn't He? Yes, He is. It's to do things great and glorious. It's to restrain corrupt desires. It's to bear trials and troubles. He helps us obtain these qualities. He stands with us in our infirmities. And these infirmities mean more than just ailments. It's actually, there's the understanding or the concept of weakness and frailty in it. But there's also the understanding of an understanding being born out of that through the Spirit, because He helpeth us in our infirmities, right? But we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know where we're going. Jim's mom didn't know where she was going ultimately. She went to great places. And we, through the Spirit, will also go to great places. I know I've come a lot farther than where I was at when I began in life. I used to crawl. Now I run, and sometimes I run into beams. But other than that, we're moving along, right? We're coming along because the Spirit is interceding for us. It's not by my might, not by my power. It's by His grace and mercy and through the Spirit. The Spirit of God leads the sons of God, right? So He maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now let me just, maketh intercession is that, it's that word, it's a long one too, huperantonkano. It's to intercede for one. It's that simple. To intercede for us. So the Spirit is alongside us. He's helping us to obtain something. He's helping us to grab hold of this understanding and this deliverance from those infirmities so that this hope that we have can actually be born, right? There is a birthing of this hope. As the sons of God come into where they ought to be, and we are declared righteous, that is, as we ought to be, that is that term for righteousness. We're born from these infirmities. We become what God wants us to be. And He does it. He's got His own purpose in all of this. And He knows where we're all at. He knows what we all need. He's got a special recipe, a special call for each of us, a special design on His temple and His block in each of us, right? And again, thank you as always for your patience and listen to me. And Lord God be with you all. In Jesus Christ's name, I thank you for all of you here. And I ask blessings for everyone here.